Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, and credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, a phone call from Bet Online's Dave Mason, and a round of Will Brian Eat It. And now, a man with thick skin, and not just on the top of his penis, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. I'm going to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. Here we go into our 10th year, just a couple of months away from our 10th year, and it's all because you guys turn people on to this show. I see your tweets, and I appreciate it. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian. God doesn't make dick mistakes. Bill Maher's going to be calling in during the news.
Oh, this is very good. A
lot of controversy brewing with Stan Lee and the estate and all that, so he sent out his blog and got some heat from the Lee estate and his company, and so he's going to be defending himself, I guess.
Or maybe apologizing. Or
we don't know.
Who knows?
So he's going to do that during the news. So we got that to look forward to. I had a, I don't use the word harrowing very often, but harrowing.
Well, let's hear it.
Incident last night. I have a pretty low pulse rate, and I don't get agitated, and I'm not into being a victim, and I kind of, I'm the ultimate victim, which is I'm the victim of people not doing shit I tell them to do over and over again. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I really don't think of myself as a victim, but I do think of that as the ultimate.
Victimized constantly.
The ultimate victim.
Yeah.
Because that's a daily thing, and it's real time. I was out last night about 8:30 at night taking a Philly cheese dog for a trot around the neighborhood.
Heroin.
It's a heroin, Bruce. It's harrowing.
Harrowing. What did I say? Heroin? Oh, heroin. Heroin.
You said it right.
Heroin. Anyway, so I'm out. It's dark. It's cold. I found myself wearing black shorts and the best jacket in the world is 10th anniversary Jimmy Kimmel Live. Puffy down jacket, the kind that can be mashed down and put inside a ceramic mug, but then puff all out and are super comfy. And when you put your hands in the pockets, they just feel good.
It's toasty.
Yeah, so I got that. I got a black beanie, a black jacket, and black shorts. So I'm not much of a pedestrian. But I got Phil's little collar heart lights, a little blinking little medallion. I hope
at least Phil's bright white. Oh, wait.
We call you the night shadow.
Yeah, he's black as night, but I got his little beeper on, his little quarter-sized medallion beacon on his collar, and that's flashing. And I have my flashlight with me. And so we're out taking Phil for a walk, and I turn the reporter. We're finding out a burglary.
Oh.
Yeah. We're jumping ahead. I'm reading the screen. So here's what happens.
Heroin.
I'm walking through the neighborhood. I get up to kind of one of the main streets, although it's a small street, but it's kind of a street that people that use quite often. And I get up the corner. On one side is a big house, big sort of looks like a French chateau. And on the other house, a vacant lot, big vacant lot, double, triple vacant lot. And I'm actually on Garrigus' street, just literally a few doors away from Garrigus' house. Although while doors in that neighborhood are only 36 inches wide, the property are like country miles
sure.
wide. So I'm half a mile from Garrigus' house, but three doors down.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm standing there. And I'm standing there with Phil. Phil loves the vacant lot because of the cornucopia of smells and things
oh, yeah.
that have in that lot. He loves the lot, and he's digging in with his paws. And I'm standing there, and it's cold. And I got my flashlight. I'm just kind of standing on the corner. To my right is a triple vacant lot. In front of me, three doors down.
That's right.
In front of me, just a street, and behind me is this big French chateau, and a sheriff's car, patrol car, comes in hot. Mm. It's coming in hot. And not only is it coming hot, it's coming in against traffic. So I'm standing on the side of the street where if you don't want to head-on collision, you got to stay on your side of the street.
Right.
He slides into my side of the street, comes in hot, headlights off. And comes in hot and stops.
It's a confident driver.
Probably about 18 to 20 feet in front of where I'm standing, which is on the corner just facing him. So I'm seeing a guy haul ass down the street, shut his headlights, come in hot, point his car directly at me, and stop right against the curb.
Oh,
I'm standing. There is no sidewalk. It's just sort of the curb and dirt. I'm just standing there. He comes sliding in, stops hard. And stops about, it's about 18 feet in front of me.
And you look like a guy from an ADT commercial.
Yes. I have not
right.
shaved in 3 days, so I am public enemy number one. I'll tell you the rest of the story in 1 second. First, I want to thank Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam for this half of the show. Simply Safe, go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Castrol Challenge, you tweet us your question. I love these at Adam Carolla. Show with the hashtag Castrol Challenge and MedMen at MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. So I'm just standing there. Now, I want to practice what I preach, which is as far as the cops go, they shoot plenty of people who don't need to be shot. Although, when you really start really breaking down the numbers, in terms of amount of people they mm-hmm. shoot that don't have weapons mm-hmm. and aren't swinging at them, it gets very low. If you back out right. all the swinging the machetes or brandishing a gun. But I am in this weird position because I sit across Garrigus in this studio. Garrigus is up the street, and as we know, he's defending the worst public shooting of a civilian ever. So it's not, hey, I'm not a gangbanger, I'm not a Crip or blood, you can't shoot me. I've seen Whitey get executed.
Is he defending it?
He is.
It.
Yeah, sorry. I don't mean the word to use the word defend if
oh,
I did.
Did.
Sorry. He's representing the wife
there
and the
go.
Family of the,
of the
yeah, I don't mean defending it, but they
sorry, I thought I was literally on the defense.
And the cops got off the first round. The guy who was yelling, I'm going to kill you, got off, and the trigger man got off. Seems insane.
Yep.
But anyway, imagine if they shot a black guy, how much they would have got off. Oh, wait a minute, the same amount. Yeah, because that's how it works. Cops don't like prosecuting cops. Mm-hmm. The community, the mayor, they don't really go after right. their own that much. Kind of a stacked deck, but he's revisiting it. Anyway, I'm sitting there thinking about Garrigus, and then picturing that guy getting snuffed in the hallway. And oh, we're also going to play Will Bryan Eat It, by the way, today.
Sweet.
Oh.
Tea giving edition.
So right. I'm standing there.
Some tea pain.
And this
yeah.
guy comes sliding up, and I'm just standing there. And then he jumps out of his car in a hurry. But first, he grabs a shotgun
Jesus.
From the rack. He grabs a shotgun from the rack, and he jumps out, and he gets out of his car. He faces me, and he pumps his shotgun.
Oh, my God.
And I have no context for anything other than I'm just standing on this corner watching this guy who's just jumped out of his car. Now, I know it's loud because I got my earbud in, and I was talking to Matt DeAndrea about cars, and he said, did somebody just pump their shotgun? Meaning he just heard it clear as a bell.
Jesus.
And this guy was standing 13 feet in front of me, and he jumped out of the car, and he had his shotgun out, and he faced his gun. I don't want to say he pointed it at me like he was aiming it at me, but it wasn't in the air. It was
out
horizontal. Right. Yeah. He pumped it and then went down with it. And I was standing there.
Prosecute this, Gargus.
Yeah, I was standing there thinking, what could possibly be going on that obviously this involves me because there's no one else around. It's a quiet night. I've not heard any screams for help or any glass break or shatter. There's nothing. It's the quietest neighborhood at 8:30 at night. There's nothing going on. There's no other cars. There's no music. There's no party. There's no screams for help. There's no anything. I'm just standing on this corner. This guy comes flying up. So all I can think of is some like neighbor said, there's some shady dude and he's got a gun and he's on the corner or something.
Phil's in a no digging zone.
Right.
He's all in black. He's a black animal. A wolf.
So this guy comes sliding up, pulls a shotgun out and points it at me. And again, I'm trying to be super accurate and not overdramatic. He doesn't point it at me like he's trying to shoot me. It just goes down. And because it's a shotgun and I'm standing 13, 14 feet in front of it, and it's down by his hip. That's good enough. And I'm trying to think, what should I do? Because I got a high-powered flashlight, and I don't want to put the flashlight in his face.
No.
I don't want him just to see the glare of a flashlight and a shadowy something behind it. You know, who knows what on the other side of the flashlight. And I think this is part of a bigger conversation that everyone would fucking cry like a stuck pig if you ever floated this notion of maybe with all that's going on in a world where, you know, you have to get your license and do a 3-point turn and fill out the application and then go do the driving test and the written test. Maybe we should have a how to interact with cops conversation. Maybe there should be some protocol.
Not
maybe
a bad idea.
When you're taking your driver's test, they go, you know what? Now that you have a driver's license, you may get pulled over. You will get pulled over. And when you do,
here's what to do.
Here's what to do.
Yeah.
Or when the car pulls up and the guy pumps the shotgun and starts moving toward you, here are things to do and here are things not to do.
Don't run at him. Don't run away from him.
I was just in that moment very interested in not getting shot, and I could not think of any reason why this guy stopped this car and pulled a shotgun out and was pointing it toward me. I couldn't think of any other reason than he thought I posed a danger to him or community or something. There was no other context because I was standing in a vacant lot. And there's a house behind me that was just sort of lights on and nothing going on and nothing going on anywhere. Silent. So I immediately just pointed the flashlight at the ground. So it's not either shut it off or pointed at the ground. I can't recall. And I just stood there motionless. I just sort of put my hands kind of a move like you're trying to ride a long surfboard in a Gidget movie or something. I just kind of put my hands out and pointed them.
Timely reference.
I pointed them.
Gidget, sure.
You call me Moondoggy.
He's on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like Frankie Valli.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Annette Funicello,
yeah,
you know.
So I just put my hands out by my side, shut the flashlight, and just stood there. He then, after pumping the shotgun, started jogging at me. And then I just didn't move. I just stood there, and he ran past me, and he yelled, "Get out of here!"
Wow!
And I was like,
"Come on, get!"
Yeah, I did what you do with a horse when there's a fire.
Slapped
him on the ass. He yelled, "Get out of here!"
Did he spray paint his phone number on you?
Yes. So I was like, "All right, I guess whatever he's thinking about is behind me somewhere."
Mm-hmm.
I would argue, maybe not in this situation, but in the past, could we have, I've talked about it on this show before, just some basic sort of automotive protocol. Like, there was a time when I was walking the dog during the day, and again, quiet neighborhood, no one's out, no one's around or whatever, and some guy just, like, in the middle, this guy just literally stops 30 feet past me on the side street where I'm walking, the direction where he just goes past me a Dodge Charger, jumps out of the car. The guy looks basically like a war dog, the guy who's in prison right now for beating the shit out of his, beating the shit out of his porn star girlfriend. Mm-hmm. That kind of looks like that dude.
Yeah.
Bald, tatted, muscles. Yeah. Jumps out of the car. Stops the car in the middle of the street. Doesn't pull over. Just stops. Car running. Jumps out. Goes to the hood. Goes to the trunk. Pops the trunk. I'm like, okay, he's getting a shovel. He's going to attack me now. Like, I don't know what's going on. Slams the thing. Jumps back his car. Takes off. I've had it happen a million times. Like, you're walking at night and the person comes at you and stops the car with the headlights on you, and they got their high beams, and it turns out to be nothing. But hey, person driving the car, do understand that the person who's walking the dog,
a little awareness,
just go to the next stop sign and pull over, or stop a little shorter, or go a little past. It does kind of freak us out a little bit.
As it should.
Like, I get it. You jumped out of the car. You got the shotgun. Why don't you pump it after you pass me?
That's right.
Don't pump it right in front of me. Like, just
hold
jumps
it up,
out and boom,
hold it up
boom.
Your ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he did. He jumped out of the car. He pumped it like you'd pump it, and then he went down with it, and then he started at me. It's just bad timing because, as it turns out, whatever he was onto was behind me. But again, if he could have pulled onto the side of the street, like the direction traffic was going and stuff, I would have been a lot less freaked out.
So he ran past you, told you to get.
Told me to get.
So go and get.
Yeah. And did he see Phil? He didn't trip over Phil.
I don't know who sees Phil. He ran past me. He had his flashlight. There was a helicopter.
Wow.
Showed up moments later and was circling. He was then flashing the helicopter with his flashlight, kind of telling him it was him.
Morse code.
Yeah, something with him. And then he had that shotgun out and he was going around the house, and somebody had something with that house. Somebody was in the house, somebody with a report of something broke in. Whatever it was. I was glad to see the whole Johnny on the spot part and the whole rushing in and, the cavalry. And then moments later, a bunch of other patrol cars came sliding up. I was fine with all that. I just happened to be the part where I was standing on the corner with nothing going on. Wrong place, wrong time, bad timing. Max Bad, did we ever find out what the story was?
All they told us was it was a reported burglary. And it wasn't actually a burglary, but that's as much as they would tell us.
Right.
We call the sheriff's department.
Do you think they got swatted? You know, like when kids do that, they'll call, as a prank and do that?
I don't know.
That's a thing.
Yeah. No, there is a thing. Either way, it was a real moment because I'm always sort of thinking about Shaver and the police shooting and that thing and all that. It was just a moment where I was just standing there for a second and he just jumped out with that shotgun. I was like, uh-oh, here we go. I could not put it. My brain couldn't find any context for what was going on because there was nothing else happening around me. But
did your life flash before your eyes and it was just a series of people disappointing you?
it was all half full coffee mugs just sitting in the sink without being rinsed. I just stood there. But my whole thing at that point was, let's not do anything that could possibly exacerbate anything at any time. So that was my move.
Jeez.
I suggest you all do the same, but that was kind of funny.
Well, it's a good lesson for everyone. If you're going to have your house burglarized, be super rich and have a big house in a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. That's right.
And don't wear your Jimmy Kimmel jacket.
Yes.
If you're going to break into somebody's house.
Yeah, the guy was a Fallon dude. And by the way, I've seen enough good 90s movies where guys get blown away with shotguns wearing down jackets to know just how satisfying it is for the guys just slow motion with the feathers flying everywhere. Remember that trope?
It's like duck hunting.
It was a trope from the 90s. It lasted about as long as holding the pistol sideways did, but it was like blowing away the guy in the parka with the blood and the feathers flying everywhere.
That's good.
Right. I got home, I told Lynette. Lynette's like, was Philly there? Yes.
Yes, he was.
Is he okay? Get him a towel.
All right. Let's see. I had some other thoughts. Speaking, we're always talking about Sonny had a bunch of kids over. You know, I was yelling yesterday about us like trying to all this sort of misinformation we get, and then we how it just gets disseminated and it becomes lore, and then people whatever. And so Sonny and his buddies were all over, and they were having a sleepover.
Well, watching the big game.
Watching the big game. And I like to just – I like to be fun dad, you know. I like to, like, come in the morning, and they're all camped out in the living room. You know, who wet the bed? Come on. Who? Tell me. Or I do my Rams – I do my Rams dance for them during the game. And I just
– What's your Rams dance?
Oh, I'll show you in a second.
Sweet.
I'll show. I'll spell it out for you.
Dylan, get the camera.
So so they all had, like, breakfast, and then they had – some of them had milk, and then at some point there were, like, two glasses of milk that are, like, three-quarters full just sort of sitting there, and they'd all retreated back into playing video games or whatever. And I just said, hey, whoever's milk this is, why don't you guys finish it off and then put the thing in the sink and, like, rinse it out? And then they said – oh, it's my milk or something. I said, like, who's got the milk? And they said, that's ours. And I said, okay, well, just finish it off and then throw it in the sink. And the kid said,
fun dad.
Yeah. Well, I usually am. And I don't get, like, uptight weirdo. I'm just sort of like, I don't like kids waste. I don't like all the fucking waste. Yeah, I don't. Sure. You pour a glass of milk, you take two sips, you leave it on the counter, and you go about your business. Like, you just go somewhere else. Right. And it's like,
doesn't exist anymore.
Come in and finish it, or bus it, or rinse it, or finish what you're doing with it. And
I like how you follow up. I don't like to be an uptight weirdo with, hey, kids, someone finish this milk.
There's three good swallows in that glass.
How dare you? How dare you? There's a fucking balance between being a negligent dad, which is, believe me, my kids are suffering and shall suffer in the future because both of their parents are way too lenient and way too lazy and have not nearly enough rules for them. Believe me, I'm now seeing the chickens come home to roost with the kids as they get older. They're all just, they're not being taught skills. They're right. Not. I mean, they can't hunt. You know, they physically. We think it's some sort of competition. See how cool the parents can be. We're not doing our kids any service at all by being cool. Cool. I like
cool
to,
mom.
I like to joke around. I like to make them laugh. I like to whatever. But also they have to kind of lock the door and shut the lights and like start building those habits. So I don't really care because it's not a money situation. It's more of a, what would a responsible human being do with these young kids? And it would be, I must train them to sort of take care of business. So, oh, Olga has my Rams dance?
Yeah, she sent a video of you doing
it. She filmed my Rams dance?
Yeah, let's watch
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. This is me in front of the TV.
R-A-M-S Rams!
Jesus. Can we see that again?
So we know you can spell one word.
It's a little head on it is what it. Did Olga put any head on it?
No head.
Oh, she just jumped on it. She always, you know, I explain I'm doing the Rams dance, and she goes running for her phone. It's not like we set this stuff up. She's secretly doing this. Sorry. Go ahead.
R-A-M-S Rams!
Intense.
It's intense.
Yeah. Fun dad.
Fun dad.
It's like your little version of the YMCA.
Yeah. So we spell out Rams. Because yeah. Rams had a big game.
It's a little more gay.
Yeah. So I, yeah, it's like if the village people were all bottoms.
Yeah.
It's kind of, sort of
It'd
like
that. That.
It'd be like that.
They're wrongly named Rams.
So I go, hey, let's finish the milk off and let's rinse out the cups there, boys. And then the one guy, he goes and he takes a hit off it and he goes, yeah, I'm kind of a skim milk, you know, guy, and this is whole milk. And then I go, oh, well, that's okay. As it turns out, the fat's good, and the whole milk is good. And he goes, yeah, right.
Uh-oh.
And I go, no, it really is. It's good for you.
Fun dad.
And all right, Brian.
I know.
Please. I go, it's good for you. And it's better for you than the skim milk
with all the
is.
Sugar in it.
I learned this. And he said, Yeah, I don't think the fat milk is better. It's basically like saying one is skinny milk, the other is fat milk. And you're telling me the fat milk is good. Okay, fun dad. And I go, no, I actually studied this. I thought it was the other way too. And he's like, yeah, I know what I know.
And good luck convincing the 12-year-old that what you like, that's not what you want.
I don't even know. I don't even know that he likes it.
What his mom's beaten into
his head. He's just kind of used to this.
What you prefer, it's not what you want.
Right.
Nobody wants the skim stuff versus the whole stuff. As in terms of if you're a milk drinker, if you like to drink milk, most people would take the full body stuff. I mean, it's like saying, Brian, you like beer, right? You want a light beer or you want an IPA? It's sort of like, I like beer and I'll take the light. And if you tell me it's better for me, I might drink it more often.
But
I
would choice.
Definitely take the IPA, like if you're a beer guy. If you're not, then you're not. But he is. And so he was kind of going to me like, okay, I think I know how this works. Because he's 12 and that's all he's ever known, right?
Big same
fat
thing with us.
Discussion about fat and whole fat and easy and skim and take it easy. And I know you want this, but let's be healthy and let's be smart, let's make smart choices and blah, blah, blah. And it just goes, it's a sad sort of testimonial, right? This guy's going to take this into adulthood. One day he'll have kids himself. They'll go like, well, I know everyone wants this, but let's do that because we are going to do the right thing. It's why I get angry at all the people that put out all the non-information. Mm-hmm. It's like you really don't understand that you're hurting generations of people. Mm-hmm. And then how do you undo this? Mm-hmm. How do we undo what you grew up with, what you've known?
Well, and that's the thing. If it takes a generation to go the wrong way, it's going to take at least a generation to go the right way.
Wash it out.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I was raised on skim milk and snack wells, and how did that turn out?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean...
No, how dare you?
No, I know. It's like, but here's the other thing too. And it's a bigger problem. And you guys should all ask yourself this, and everyone who's listening. Can you stop on a dime and turn? Can somebody say to you, here's what you've grown up with, here's what you've known. Mm-hmm. It's almost a religion in the sense that this is it's more engrossing than a religion, because maybe religion is Sunday mornings. This is every day around the dinner table and every day.
It's like a ritual,
like a cult that you've been indoctrinated into about, you know, for me, it was like meat is murder and it's all the bad vibes. Mm-hmm. And if you do get the meat, you can eat turkey, but don't eat red meat. If you do eat red meat, you got to trim away all the fat. So there's no fat because the fat just clogs your arteries and blah, 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 blah. Then Vinny Tortorich comes here and says, stop it. I feel like most people go, I know what I know, expert person. And they just continue. The number of people I've had the conversation with about all the Purell and all that kinds of thing, I think I know what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just give themselves a title, like, I'm a mom. I think I know. Okay. That puts you in an elite fraternity of a kabillion people that know anything. Like, I'm a mom. I get these feelings. Like, I know what I know. Like, this, I know what I know, people.
Right.
Can you stop?
Even if you want to stop, it's hard. You know what I mean? If you want to, like, let's just take the Vinny approach just because it's on, you know, on the table. It's hard. You know what I mean? Like, certain aspects of it are easy, but certain aspects of it you're born into you. That you're
no,
routine.
I disagree. You can stop if you want. Mm-hmm. No, here's a question. I did not stop eating rice with my Chinese food or pasta on occasion, but I know what I'm doing. I stopped doing a lot of things. When he said, don't eat a banana, eat an avocado, I went, oh, okay, I ate an avocado.
Same here.
You know, when he said, use butter, use that Kelly Green or whatever that's still, butter.
Kerrygold.
Kerrygold. Use the butter and use an iron skillet. I immediately switched. Now, do I drink some IPAs and have a piece of pie? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. But I know what I'm doing. You know, I didn't go like, okay, I don't trust you with your thoughts and your ideas.
Right.
I know what I know. No, I took every single thing he said. I internalized. I'm not that disciplined.
But you get
what
it.
I'm saying. Yes, I got it. Like I knew it immediately. I just decided, all right. Sunday is going to be a cheat day when you're watching football and eating pizza pies and all that. But then you'll go back to having your bacon and eggs in the morning. But who are the people that just kind of...
They can't be taught.
I know what I know.
It's most people. So
it is most people.
It's the majority of people.
Thank you. It's most people. All right. Let me tell you. Let me coach you up on Simply Safe. Oh, I'm a big fan of Simply Safe. Home security. It's prepared for everything. If a storm takes out the power, your phone line gets cut, keypads get destroyed, Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't need to be ready for the worst case scenario, but that's what makes Simply Safe the best. They're always ready. And they're just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no lock-in contracts, no hidden fees. You get the kit, you go online, you order it, shows up in a couple days. Pop the box, open it up, peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No drilling. No muss, no fuss, no pulling wires. I recommend Simply Safe. Two eyes in there, once again, to everyone I know. So go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. Do what we've all done around here with Simply Safe. Yes, sorry.
I have a hot regard for you.
Mm.
So last night did the Tim Conway Jr. show over at KFI just because it's fun. I like to pop in over there and did a couple hours. And it might as well have been the Adam Carolla show sans Adam Carolla. Mm. There was so much you talk and so much talk about how much he loves you and how you're the funniest, greatest,
you talk,
bestest.
World's worst porn site. It's just old, overweight guys talking about porn.
You know what I'd be into if I ever had the chance.
I saw this really hot one called Sex Boat once.
Oh, that sounds hot, dude.
Yeah, man. Oh, these chicks were so hot.
So hot.
You could only imagine how hot they were.
Boobs.
They went down on this pirate, man. You got to picture that. The guy's got a scarf and everything.
One eye patch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, he was hot, too.
Peg leg, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You could tell it wasn't a full-size boat. You could tell it was a smaller boat, but
well,
that didn't bump me.
Yeah, production limitations.
Yeah, there's a totally hot engine room scene.
So glad I brought this up.
Sorry.
Anyway, he's a fan, and he loves you.
Oh, yeah,
and
Timmy.
You came up several times in 2 hours.
I love Tim. He's a good guy. They're just the good guys. You hang around the business long enough, they're the good guys and the
salt
bad guys.
Salt of the earth.
All right, let's see. Dave Mason is on there. He's got some picks. You just pot him up? Sorry. Or do I hit something?
Oh, we got it.
That Rams game was crazy last night.
105 points.
Unbelievable.
Right? Yep.
Also, hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Good to speak to you, by the way. Dave is a resident Bet Online odds guy and a gambling insider. What was the over-under on the Rams-KC game?
It was 63.5. It was the highest NFL total in the history of Bet Online. I think back in like 1986 or something, there was some game that had a total just as high. But yeah, it closed 63.5, and it flew over. I mean, everybody was betting the over. We got killed on the total last night. Like 75% of the money was on the over, so we got murdered on the over.
I was watching the game last night, and I love McVay, and I love that he's aggressive. Tell me if this rings true to you and Brian.
Yes, sir.
And everyone but Gina.
Thanks.
I feel like sometimes guys fall in love with their image a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
They love not physical image, but hey, I'm aggressive. I'm the aggressive coach. And when it's 2nd and 10 and there's a minute and 4 seconds left on the clock and you're up by 3 and the other team's got their timeouts, just run the ball. Mm-hmm. Would you please make them burn a timeout? Yep. Let's get the clock down. Not the time for the flare pass and the incompletion.
Getting a little too clever.
Your Rams last possession. They ran 28 seconds off the clock. I think KC used one timeout, and they punted. Not what you're looking for at that stage of the game. Nope. So go ahead. Hey, riverboat gambler, who's a sort of rogue cop coach. At that point, get a little conservative.
Play the percentages.
And win the game, would you please? Any thoughts on that, Dave? Sorry.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%, especially since we were rooting for the Rams. We needed the Rams big, so... You know, last thing we wanted to do was to see the Chiefs come back and win it. We would have got murdered. So, yeah, I feel you, man. It's just, you know, tone it down a little bit, make them burn a timeout, and go from there. But what can you do?
Were the Rams – so obviously most of the money was on the Chiefs then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Both money line to win outright and
spread.
And spread, right. And, you know, it was open at -3.5, so a lot of the early money was on the Chiefs at +3.5. About when we had it +3.5, about 80% of the money was on the Chiefs at +3.5. So those bets got graded winners. And then at 3, you know, everybody thinks 3 is just no action and everybody gets their money back and it's just, even Steven. But that's not really the case. Books hate pushes, especially when they fall on the 3, because so many people buy on and off the 3. So all those bets, all those people that are buying that half point from -3 down to -2.5 and +3 up to +3.5. They're all winners, so we're grading just winners and not many losers on that spread bet. That being said, it would have been a lot worse if the Chiefs went in and scored and won outright. So, you know, it was kind of a loser either way. We just lost a lot less falling on the 3.
And it works that you and Brian's got a question, but. You know, you guys have good weeks and you have bad weeks, but obviously you can't put together too many bad weeks because you run out of money, right?
We don't.
One could have to close shop eventually if you put together too many bad weeks, right?
I mean, little small shops and you know, corner bookie guys, yeah, those guys have been known to get out of business, go out of business. Prior to last weekend, not this past weekend, the weekend prior, the NFL was tough. We had a 3-week stretch where we lost every Sunday, and one of them was a record-breaking loss. So we went through a rough stretch. But
how much?
But, you know, there's all those other.
Can you ballpark us on how much you lose in a record-breaking loss?
Oh boy, it's I'm not really allowed to say my.
But it's into the millions, right?
Yeah. No, it's big. It's a huge chunk.
I just want to make sure we're talking about.
But you know, you gotta think long term. Whether you're a gambler or whether you're booking the action, you think long term, and you gotta be prepared for bad stretches and good stretches. You know, we had that 3-week stretch that was just brutal, but college was good and there's NBA started up and college basketball started. So you got to think of all, and plus, you know, when everybody's winning on sports, then they all go into the casino and the casino numbers go through the roof and they all have great money. And like 2 weeks ago, the action was through the roof because everybody's loaded.
It's trickle down. Yeah, the Coke dealers are flush. The prostitutes are rolling in clover. The buffet's full.
Plentiful.
The crab leg guy's got a sore hand.
Guys are getting back on track with their child payments. You know, it helps the whole economy, right. The whole gambling economy. Yeah, the guys are buying their mistresses more tennis bracelets. It helps everybody.
Win-win.
All the vices out there are making, you know, we're all good. So.
Pinky ring sales are up 82%. Kerchief sales are high.
That's good.
Ransom notes are flying off the shelves.
It's good for everybody. All right, Brian, sorry. What was your question?
It was more of an observation, but it was crazy. So I watched about 3/4 of the game. I missed the first quarter. But in a game that featured 105 points, I'm going to make the outrageous claim that there was some good defense being played. There were 3 defensive touchdowns, multiple interceptions. Granted, the offenses were almost passing at will, but that's just – these guys are so out front of what's being done in the NFL these days. Like, there was some okay defense being played, which is insane for a game with triple-digit points.
I agree.
No, I agree. It's a great, you know, Donald and some great other great stars and making some big, big plays. So, and that added to the points too, you know. Sometimes a great defense is creates a great offense, so that added to some of those points.
Well, I don't know statistically where we're at, but when I was a young boy and we'd play Pop Warner football and beyond, if you would have tackled somebody and attempted to rip the ball out, you would have been benched because they said, get your butt down, put your shoulder into their midsection, wrap it up, wrap them. Get your hands wrapped up behind their fanny, and you take them down. if you would have done any ball hunting, like if you would have tried to strip the quarterback or rip the ball out while you're running next to him, you would have been disciplined for not playing fundamental football,
right,
where you tackle them, use both arms, you wrap them up, all that kind of stuff. These guys now are essentially trained assassin pickpockets. They're not the old guys who got to the quarterback and took the quarterback down. They've had high school, college, and beyond of stripping the ball. And you're seeing plays in the NFL now where guys are punching the ball out from behind. There was one from last week. I think it was last week, Max Pat. It could have been the week before. The guy came, it was a running play. Guy came behind him. He punched it. The ball flew into the end zone. It was like a drop kick. I can't. Do you remember what game that was?
Yeah, I forget the exact game, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
So when you are running with a ball and a dude who's 6'5 and 275 is going to rip your arm off and get this ball out, that ball's coming out.
Right.
And when the guy who's 6'5 and 280 can also run like a deer now, there are no more Alex Karras's or Rosie Greer's anymore. These guys can sprint, man. They can move. There's going to be a lot of defensive touchdowns because some guy's stripping that ball and the outside backer who gets the ball returned punts in high school and can fly. And they don't fall on the ground and roll on it. Another thing.
Scoop and score.
We would have been yelled at if we tried to pick up a ball on the run that was on the ground. We would have been told to fall on it, cover it up, roll on it. These guys pick it up with one hand and take off. So there's going to be a lot more defensive scoring.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. The game has changed so much at so many different levels, but that's a great point.
Who's favorite? Are the Rams favorite for the Super Bowl now or New Orleans?
For the Saints, right?
New Orleans took over. They're plus 300 to win the Super Bowl. And the Rams are like right behind, like plus 450, I believe.
It's a good bet. If you believe in the Rams, 4.5 to 1.
All right. How about let's do our picks for this week, Dave.
Okie dokie. Let's do it. Are you allowed to pick Thanksgiving games, or are they off the board?
No.
Whatever you want, my
friend. Any games you like. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Did Dylan say no Thanksgiving games? No,
yeah, he's saying no. Thursdays are off the board.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
If we talk about the contest you and I are in, it's only Sunday games.
Sorry.
Only Sunday games.
Go ahead. We've changed our tune. That was a ridiculous notion. How dare you speak of it?
Well, let's go with the biggest spread games for Sunday. God, I'd hate to put anything on the Eagles now, but the Eagles minus 6, so that's their money line to win outright. They are playing the Giants at home, so the Eagles, Patriots, 9.5 at the Jets. Got to go with the Patriots outright. Colts, they're playing great.
Is this a Patriots sort of statement game? Like, they have to do that game where they go, oh, Brady and Belichick, come on, they're back. Like, don't ever, whatever, like when they just whoop up on somebody and let them know who the Patriots are.
Yeah, the Jets
are in
trouble.
Right, and it is against the Jets, too. Right. So that's perfect spot there for their another comeback or whatever. You know, everybody gets off them, and then they come back, and, oh, they're back. So, yeah, Patriots, Colts, Ravens, they're minus 11 against the Raiders at home. So that's got to be an outright winner. And the best one to lock, it would have to be the Chargers at home versus the Cardinals. So there's your 5, Eagles, Patriots, Colts, Ravens, Chargers.
And the lock is the Chargers?
Yeah, Chargers.
I always kind of say this, but I think the savvy better says, well, the novice says 9.5 points, but then the savvy better goes, you know, the Patriots are going to beat them 31-17. And that feels like a pretty reasonable score for that game.
It's a 13-point game.
That'll be more than 10 points. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, at some point they'll go into the half and the Patriots will be up 14-3 and you go, already
– that's pretty obvious.
Spread's gone. Yes.
We're not coming back from that.
Yeah, I like that. Website, betonline.ag, human being, Dave Mason. Yes, Brent.
Dave, can I ask you one last unrelated follow-up question? At what point do you guys start having Oscar bets on your site? Because there might be one or more people interested over here.
All right. I'll look into that, but they'll be coming soon. Okay. We get all that entertainment stuff. I'm not sure exactly when they'll be going up, but I'll send an email tomorrow. I'll get back to you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Still pissed at Nick Santora, everybody.
That's like 3 years ago. That was like 5 years ago.
It could be seven. I don't know. But I'm sorry. When I heard that Christoph Waltz was at the time, like it's like 18 to 1 odds on him for Inglourious Basterds. No.
It was Django, wasn't it?
I think it was Django. And I just walked in and I was like, I'm putting $1,000 on him. I'm going to get $18,000 back. And he's like, don't do it. But he's smart. He doesn't use the dopey voice. See, I use the dopey voice.
You're interpreted as that.
Well, what I'm saying, it was 2013, yeah. So you're right. So when someone's being wrong, I use the dopey voice. And if they would just use the dopey voice when they're being wrong, like, I don't know about that. I wouldn't do that. There's too much gun violence. The Academy doesn't like all that gun violence. Definitely don't do $1,000. If they would do the dopey voice, that would be a tell.
That'd be a
to
huge
me.
Tell.
And then I'd just go ahead and place my bet.
Yeah.
But he didn't do the dopey voice. He did the Nick Santora, I'm an ex-attorney, and I work in Hollywood voice, which is way too much gun violence. The Academy's not going to recognize all that gun violence. And then he kind of went, you could bet $100, wow. But not $1,000.
Talked you down. Wow.
And I said, who am I to say? Nick Santora is like the brightest guy on the planet, and he's in the industry. And so I said, and he also gambles a lot. So I was like, fine, $100. Yeah. And then he won. And the difference between, as a Rich Whitey, the difference between winning, you know, $1,800 bucks and winning $18,000, it's quite a bit.
It hurts.
To me. Quite a bit.
I made a max bet on Star Is Born to win Best Picture.
Oh, I think that's fair.
Futures are already out.
Oh, really?
It's almost it's plus 175, which is 1.75 to 1, almost 2 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the most I could bet was 125, and I would have done a lot more if I could have.
So you lock that in now. Mm-hmm. It's better than waiting.
I think these are the best odds you're going to see for Star Is Born, because it's
right,
certainly getting
get
nominated
in
for
that.
It's going to get nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah,
I assume it's going to be the favorite. I assume it'll be negative
agree.
Odds, you know, minus 100 or whatever it is. Oh, 100 doesn't make any sense. Minus
right.
120, whatever.
All right. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes if you think it's going to move, and then like Christoph Waltz moved, it went from 18 to 1 to 5 to 1 or whatever it moved, you got to lock it in before
it
starts moving.
It, between the time I made the bet and the time I'm talking right now, it dropped from 175 to 120.
There you go.
So, there you go.
All right, we're going to play Will Brian Eat It. I'm guessing it's the Thanksgiving
edition. There's a twist. Yeah.
There's a twist. Brian works at the other shop. I've grown to like Brian.
Is that a new development?
How? I mean, why? I mean, what?
That's cool.
I'll talk to them about it in a second. First, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with the Castrol Challenge with your questions for Castrol Challenge and Castrol Edge, brought to you by Castrol Edge. It's formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic oils. Castrol Edge. You got a question for me, Max Pata?
Yep. This is from at Mr. Shup on Instagram, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Adam, what, in your opinion, is the best four-door daily driver on the market, preferably under $85,000?
Under 85. Okay. This is not exactly an answer, but it will be an answer. I, with today's technology and how great all the cars are, the cars range from good to great. There's no more clunkers mm-hmm. anymore. Everything is competitive. Everything works. There is no mark where I would go, no, don't buy that car. It just becomes about budget and preference. Buy a car. The cars that drop off the most are kind of your flagship-y cars, the BMW 7 Series. All the expensive stuff drops off. I would get a BMW M5 four-door or an Audi like R7 four-door. I think that's a four-door. Yeah, it's a four-door. I would get one.
Isn't the R7 the SUV?
No, There's the
A7.
Oh, there's too many. The A7 is the four. I can figure it. RS. Oh, sorry. RS.
The Lexus.
RS7.
Okay. Right.
The RS7. Now, I don't know what those sticker for. There's one.
Okay.
They're probably sticker for, you know, $118 or something. But you get one that's 2 or 3 years old and for $85. So whatever you're spending, spend it on something that's 2.5 years old. Let somebody have driven it off the showroom first, then get a $100+ thousand dollar car still under warranty for 85. Mm-hmm. Max Pata, what is one of those? Like, probably stickers for about $1.20 or something like that. But you could probably find one that was a couple years old for 85. And I'm going to include the BMW turbocharged V8 M5. You can not go wrong with any BMW M stuff or any Audi RS stuff, because those cars are Mexican built, Mexican designed.
Quality, quality.
German built, German designed.
Well, this is a surprise.
German execution.
Okay, if you say so.
Oh, man. Let's see if we can find it.
Oh,
it's
you
a
go.
Sweet.
Found some on TrueCar.
Found some on TrueCar. There's one for like 83 and one for one's little. Now, you don't want to go too high on the mileage, everybody, but do not buy a new car. Buy one that's 2 years old. All right. What year is the $83,000 one?
2016.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. All right. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Make sure it doesn't start when the key fob is on the tire. So says Max Pata. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and then we'll bring Brian in, and we'll play Will Brian Eat It, the Thanksgiving version, right after this.
The holidays are fast approaching. You know what that means. It's time to eat, drink, and fight with your family. For a limited time only, we're offering custom-built crates built by the hands of Adam Carolla himself, with maybe a little help from the lackeys and Olga and the twins. Head to CarollaChristmasCrate.com now to pre-order the perfect present for the holiday. What's included? A custom signed and built box from the Ace Man himself. A custom If You're Offended by Christmas shirt. A signed Christmas card from Bald, Gina, and Ace. Two stemless Carolla drinks glasses. A bottle of each flavor of Mangria, a bottle of 33 Cabernet and Chardonnay, a Carolla Drinks ice mold, a Mangria tote bag, plus a Carolla Drinks wine stopper designed by Wolf Island Design Company. For a limited time only, this $300 value can be yours for only $200, and we'll eat the shipping cost. So for the Adam Carolla superfan and your family, head to CarollaChristmasCrate.com and pre-order now. And remember, if you're offended by Christmas, have some Mangria and shut the f*** up. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Alpha, Florida. A 50-year-old woman is in jail after allegedly headbutting another woman during an argument over chicken feed. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, Brian is here for a round of Will Brian Eat It. Now, Brian is formerly, I don't want to call him a picky eater. I'll call him an erratic eater. It's hard to nail down. Yeah. Andrew was a kind of a picky eater, but right. I have you as more erratic.
Yeah, I like more foods, but Andrew just didn't like anything basic.
Andrew, who used to work at the other shop, you could kind of just distill down to what would a 2.5-year-old eat, and then you could kind of do it that. But
right.
Brian has a lot more range, and thus it's probably a better candidate for this game.
Absolutely. And Andrew, if he didn't prefer it, that was fine, but he wasn't mad at it.
Yeah.
Brian has feelings about
it. He has contempt for lots of foods.
Although, I got to say, Brian has mellowed over the years. He was an angry young man when he showed up to work several years ago. But he's like a guy who, you know, had some back surgery and he doesn't have a bulging disc anymore, or guy was in a loveless relationship and has finally became comfortable with his sexuality and has moved on with his life partner. There's a certain ease that Brian moves with now, a certain confidence. What do we owe that to, Brian?
Well, the back surgery is real.
Is it?
Yeah.
You had back surgery?
I was very close, but I got in a car accident like a year ago. And they were like, oh, yeah, we found out that you're very prone to becoming quadriplegic in your life. So have fun with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they said that I was too young to have surgery of any kind in my neck, basically.
It's a weird metaphor because you and I have never had a discussion about back surgery or backs or pains in your neck, have we?
Anything besides food.
Nope. Or anything besides food, right?
No. We've talked about movies sometimes. Yeah.
Talked about movies. Weird that I would use that because it's never been discussed. You play pretty close to the vest. Are you okay? Is your back okay?
It's as good as it'll be.
Wow.
So, is it spasm-y?
Well, I have no feeling now in my shoulder or the back of my neck. So.
Oh, my God.
Prove it.
Dawson, put a cigarette out on his left shoulder. Let's see if this works. Wow. I did not know that. Are you okay? How about the car accident?
Well, my 2006 Chevy Impala is it made a miraculous recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And all right. And you're learning a lot. I see you moving up the ranks over there. I feel like you're learning to be a young filmmaker now.
Yeah, well, I'm now the production manager. I don't do any editing, which is great because I hate editing so much.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Did you know he hated editing?
We hired edit.
We have I started working here by doing freelance, just like camera work. Mm. And then Nate was like, "Can you edit?" And I said, "Yeah." And then I got brought in to edit. So.
All right.
So we're working. Epity is done. We're working on Shelby. And yeah. There's many other. Adam Carolla goes racing and all sorts of stuff like that we're doing. So it's a nice. Fledgling young company, and it's kind of nice. All right. So back to food. Now, I do have a slight advantage because I do walk in when Brian is eating lunch quite often and question him on where he's eating and where he's going.
Do a recon.
I do. I'm generally satisfied, but I got to say, I'm put off a little bit when you guys just go to, like, the pavilions and go to the food court. I feel like, I don't know, feels weak. What, is it the pavilions food court? Yeah. Where do you guys go?
Yeah, we go to the pavilions. They got, like, a deli and just traditional grocery store.
What's wrong with that? The hot section?
Chicken stuff.
Yeah, just, yeah. I don't know. It just feels a little light. I don't know. There's okay. just, it doesn't sit well with this podcaster, but either way. All right, so we're doing the Thanksgiving version. Oh, well, hold on. Are you going somewhere for Thanksgiving? Are you going back somewhere?
I'm just
going somewhere.
Probably
going
to stay in my apartment.
Oh, nice.
Not eat.
Yeah, not eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yell at a turkey.
But you hail from back east, right?
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts, like Andrew was.
Right.
Yeah. So I have no family out here or anything.
I was talking about Andrew last night. Is he gainfully employed in the Boston area? Is he working at an ice cream place? What's he doing now?
He's not working at an ice cream place anymore. But he is, I think he does analyst work in Boston. Just for some, I don't know the exact company, but he's an analyst now.
He's, I was explaining to my wife that people have come and gone. And most of the people that go, I think to myself, fantastic. But every once in a while, somebody leaves, and I go, oh, I wish I didn't leave.
He's a sweet guy.
And Andrew fell onto that happy side of the ledger. All right.
What a legacy.
We'll, we'll play the game, shall we?
Yes, we will. Let's do it.
Because he's picking. His lunch is plain Cheerios. Eats pizza without cheese. Because he's picking. Brian's pissed off at most food. He must have a mental disease.
Will Brian eat it?
All right, so here's the twist on the Thanksgiving edition. Brian had his wisdom teeth out. So his doctor gave him a list of food that he may eat for Thanksgiving. Oh. We're going to find out if he will or won't.
Hey, I was talking to my wife last night, and she was doing the, what size turkey should I order? And then I said, well, how many people are showing up? And she said, I don't know, 18. And I said, okay. Go online, find out how much per person, and then we will do the math on the size of the turkey. And she said, okay. And then I said, how much? And she said, a pound and a half per person.
Yep.
And I thought, sounds like a lot of turkey. I don't know why. It struck me as a pound and a half per person felt like a lot of meat. And then I said, well, if we're going pot roast as well, let's just go pound a person, and then we'll have the meat. But I was surprised at a pound and a half. It feels like a lot of turkey.
I've done a lot of research on this. Yeah, because the grads descend on L.A. every year from all over the place. So I kind of feel like I always have to kind of be in charge a little bit. And it always says across the board a pound and a half. And articles I've read, I think that accounts for
the skeleton.
Exactly. But also leftovers. People don't want to go home and have – a bare kitchen
it's
after
that.
It's
not a pound and a half of meat per person. It's a pound and a half of bird.
Well,
yeah, but are they weaving in? I don't want them weaving in leftovers.
I think they are.
I don't. They are because that's a weird.
Have to. You can't really weigh the bird without the bones and everything else in it.
No, no, we're on the leftover side now.
Articles
No, I mean,
Brian was saying that.
No, Brian is right. Buy a 23-pound butterball. Mm-hmm. That part I'll do. If they're weaving in sandwiches the next day.
I think they are.
I don't think they are because I don't want them to do that.
The article I Googled weaves in leftovers.
Yep.
Oh.
Because
yeah.
I've read every lifestyle turkey article, and that is part of it.
I appreciate your insights.
All I was saying that a pound and a half...
Yeah,
it's not a pound and a half of meat because
Brian covered it. I got you. But now I need to readjust this. So my pound and a half per person, everyone's just going to leave the house and then someone's going to announce they're in the mood for Indian food the next night and that'll be that. So when when 14 out of the 18 people leave with no turkey,
no
I don't
want
to be left with tons of turkey. So thus, my pound and a half still felt strong. All right, Max Pata, let's see if we can adjust that. I don't like that they're weaving in leftovers. What did
I thought that was sad, but what was sadder was earlier today I was recording Fantasy BS with Sonny Corolla. First place Brian, by the way. Well done,
friend.
And asking him about his Thanksgiving plans. We talk about other things. And he said, going over to my grandma and grandpa's house, I said, is this grandpa and stepmom or step-grandma, or is this grandma and step-grandma? He's like, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't know.
He's like, we never,
tuned out.
And then he said, we've never been to the house. You've never been to the house!
Well, hold on, Brian, before you put on your judgment cap.
Sorry.
We live in La Cañada.
Okay.
They live in Altadena. That, now hold
half
on.
Miles away.
Well, as the crow flies, but if you want to get on the 210, yeah. It's almost
right.
7
it's a
miles.
I stand corrected. Yeah.
From my front door right. to their decrepit front
sure.
door. You understand?
I spoke out of turn.
What
I'm
a
sorry.
Surprise it'll be to him when he shows up at someone's house.
Now their other grandma's house he's never been to is almost 11 miles.
Okay.
Well, then
you're
satisfied, Brian?
Take back a lot
yes,
of things.
Yes, and we
said.
Only have $100,000 automobiles.
Right.
So.
Plural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I want to make sure people heard that.
So what do you want us to do?
You're right. You know, I take back a lot of
nothing we can do.
Give me a lot to think about.
A lot.
That's a tacit agreement. You don't like your grandkids, right? No. You don't want to see the old people? No. Okay.
We're good.
Moving on. Yep. Okay. Guess there's a third party here who doesn't want to drive anyone anywhere and have a bunch of uncomfortable silences for long periods of time. Yeah. Brian.
What's up?
How long you been at that other shop?
About 4 years now.
Have you ever met my dad or my mom?
I think one time they came in.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think...
Oh, that was my stepdad Sorry. With his brother, right?
What? Is your mom in a wheelchair?
She could be.
Well, she might... Someone... There was... I feel so bad for just describing this person like this, but there was an older woman, and I remember you saying, my mom, and she was in a wheelchair... And her haircut was in like a bowl.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
so
the look.
Far.
That's what the kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I met your mom.
Okay.
Or at least I saw your mom.
I think that was my mom and my stepdad. And then I think that now you go, well, why did your employee of 4.5 years meet your mom once who lives down the street? The answer is this.
Who can unravel this mystery?
Both my stepparents are sort of normal.
Uh-huh.
My biological parents are not normal. So when you see something normal happening, it's driven by the step-parents. So what it is stepdad John has brother who lives in Texas who's out with his wife who's a car nut who wants to see the race cars. So he says, can't normal person, says the semi-normal step-parent, can we do this? And then biological parent literally goes along for
gets
the ride
along, yeah.
in the wheelchair. That's how come you've met my mom once.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry.
Let's play the game.
Continue. Let's play the game.
The first food that Brian is allowed to consume.
I thought we're doing Thanksgiving at my house, by the way. I'm not sure if Sonny's right about this.
He might not be.
All right.
A chocolate milkshake.
Oh.
Will Brian...
Oh, that's on the list.
Yeah, because when your wisdom teeth are out, your options are limited.
Are they? I got a bad tooth that needs to be pulled right now. Like,
you never
fine.
Had wisdom tooth surgery?
I had.
With the water syringe? Mm-hmm. So you don't get dry socket?
I've had the wisdom. I've had teeth pulled and posts like put in place. Mm-hmm. And then the worst thing ever, which is like when you go back and the guy looks at your post 2 years later and he's like, oh, this has been recalled. My whole face has to go in there. Can we pull the post out? Like, oh yeah, these got to go back. These are bad.
It's totaled.
These cause brain cancer. Yeah. Like, he literally said that my post was recalled.
That's surprising. You can still blink.
All right, chocolate shake. Who doesn't love a chocolate shake?
This is for children. This is for little kids.
It's perfect.
Is it too cold?
It's delectable. It's delectable. But now, is Brian going to go, I love a vanilla shake.
No.
I love a strawberry shake. I hate chocolate. Can I say this? There was never any room in my life for a strawberry shake. It felt like so much fluffery to me. Like even as a young, I filed the strawberry shake. I put it in the same category as Sunny D and all the and Gatorade, like the nonsense of life. It was a fake flavor to me. To me, started vanilla, went to chocolate, graduated chocolate, never stopped at strawberry, and always at the McDonald's or the Jack. I think it was a Jack in the Box. It was vanilla, strawberry. Or chocolate, right. But I never stopped at strawberry.
Let's all agree on, let's say, In-N-Out. In-N-Out's a good shake.
Right.
Not you, Brian, because you're going to give it away. Rank the shakes, vanilla, strawberry, chocolate.
Say as an adult, I'll start with chocolate, go to vanilla, and then go to strawberry. But if I was at 9, I probably would like the vanilla better.
Okay. That's so interesting, because vanilla to me seems like a zero. It's a blank canvas.
Yeah, the strawberry tastes fake to me for some reason. But anyway,
I would go inverted: strawberry, vanilla, chocolate. And I hate when people
what a say, shocker!
I know, right? I hate when people say, "Oh, it's so boring. It's vanilla," as though vanilla is a fill-in for something that's boring. Good vanilla, actual vanilla bean. Is goddamn delicious.
I agree,
vanilla. You know,
but
vanilla,
I think I like
made.
Chocolates better. Like I like. Chocolate better than vanilla, so I'm just going to go with the chocolate shake.
Richer.
Strawberry falls under the heading of certain things aren't synthesized correctly. Mm. Like grape is always a weird
disgusting.
Synthesized thing.
Yeah.
And strawberry's okay, but there's certain flavors that just lend themselves. Like a banana shake I would rather have over a strawberry shake because it tastes 100%. Better. Mm-hmm. It's synthesized better. So anyway.
Okay.
All right.
So, Brian.
How's he going to do it? I will say no, he will not, but there'll be other shakes he likes that will frustrate us.
This is the only shake he does like. Yes, he'll drink it.
I think it's going to be a thickness and a temperature thing. I'm going to say no, he won't.
Don't overthink it.
I would not drink that. It's too rich.
Too rich!
Vanilla is fine. Strawberries for bastards.
I knew he would like other shakes.
So no.
But let me tell you this.
Vanilla's
I've been drinking
fine.
Vanilla shakes every day for the last week. I'm sick of them.
I feel for you. My
I might
heart
not
bleeds.
Like any shakes.
And all the children of the nation and in the world who are forced to go to bed every night hungry. The idea that you've been forced to drink vanilla shakes for, 2 weeks now?
One Brutal. Week, and then I have another week to go.
Oh,
poor thing.
Do you have to drink milkshakes?
It's kind of the only thing I can,
Oh, wait.
Potentially, there are others.
I think there are many smoothies and other
protein.
Well, maybe not for you, but okay. All right.
Green juice.
So you like vanilla and the chocolate too rich. God damn.
Yeah.
I think probably a suicide would be not because of his dietary choices. I mean, a 50-50 vanilla chocolate would probably be about right.
I bet he loves a Wendy's Frosty then.
All right. Am I up? Who else?
Adam and Gene are tied.
All right, here we go.
Next possible item on Brian's Thanksgiving table.
Oh, chocolate shakes.
Scrambled eggs.
It's a sad Thanksgiving.
Again, everything's soft.
Oh, my breakfast every day.
Me too.
Scrambled eggs. Love me some scrambled eggs. I love them because of they're so opening. They're the open arm of forms of eggs. They're like, would you like to add some onions? Welcome aboard.
Oh, right. Salsa.
Would you like to
cheese,
cut up a little tomato in there? Some chives? Avocado. Like, well, or you can just ham me with salt and pepper, but you want to bring, dice up a little ham or there's
come on.
Whatever's in the fridge, it's go ahead and bust it off and throw it in. You got some salami or something? Chop it up, toss it in.
My old school Italian grandpa, his favorite thing to say for leftovers, wrap some eggs around it.
That's right.
Wrap some eggs around it.
Always inviting. And boy, in the simple department, eggs and onions. I love it, man. All right. This is tough. It seems so easy.
So simple. One thing.
I'm going to say no.
No way. Texture, no way.
I agree. No.
There are many ways to make eggs. Scrambled eggs is the only way I take them.
Damn it.
They are delicious. I love them. If I had the knowledge and foresight to get some for my apartment, I would. But right now my fridge is
undoable. Crack down some eggs.
Well, you need lead time. Then there's prep. I mean, it's not till 2019.
Yeah, too stupid.
Plus, the banks always close. Yeah, everything closes down around the holidays. Yeah. So
good luck.
Yeah, good luck. That'll never happen.
Foraging.
All right. So we're all 0-4 on that one. Here we go.
Applesauce. Will Brian eat it?
I'll tell you one thing. I always forget about Laszlo Gorog. Stupid conversation I had with everybody. My grandfather, who I always attribute to all the great Hungarian food, would make homemade applesauce, and it was so good. It was especially so much better than just a sort of pureed crap from back in the day, you know, like cinnamony and had chunks floating in it. It was always great. Make the homemade stuff.
He was Jewish, right? Did he make latkes and applesauce?
Yeah, he would do it with like a pork chop or something like that. I think he would do a pork
latkes
chop.
Latkes and applesauce.
It was great. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but I'll tell you guys a funny email exchange. I tell Matt all the time, go ahead and tell everyone we're back on for football on Sunday. We're watching football this Sunday, and there's a crew of people who are on that email, and Bill Simmons, Jimmy Kimmel, and Chris Morgan are the three guys that never go to the game. Jimmy is always always at the beach on the weekends. Simmons is like Johnny Drama. Like, he doesn't go into the valley. Like, he can't come into the valley. Literally cannot go over into the valley. And
one of the shopping carts, you know, you can't go past.
Right. Chris Morgan of Fast and Furious fame is always in England. He's been in England for like 4 months working on The Rock versus Statham movie, whatever spinoff. So Sal fires back and he goes, but everyone writes back and Sal goes, you know, considering Simmons and Jimmy and Morgan haven't been here in 375 games, maybe we could get them off the
list.
And Jimmy immediately fires back, I like knowing what country Chris Morgan is in, so leave him on, because he always writes back, I'm in London. So that was funny. And then I said this. I said, you know, 10 years after my grandfather died, if I called my grandmother's house and the phone machine would pick up, it would say, hello, you've reached the home of Helen and Laszlo Gorog. Please leave the message. And I said, I liked that. Yeah. It felt good to me. I knew I was never going to see him again, but I liked knowing that his name was out there. And I feel the same way about Simmons and Chris Morgan.
The football emails.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I just like to know it's out there.
It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Applesauce.
So applesauce.
Yes. Grandpa made applesauce. We love applesauce.
Baby food.
Kids love applesauce. Yeah. Weirdly feels exotic.
Really?
For who? I don't know. For Brian.
Oh, I thought you meant like this. You had to go
no, not for
like
us.
Sprouts or something.
No, no, no. For Brian.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say no.
It's baby food, but I'm going to say the texture trips him up now. Yeah.
I don't want us to all keep voting the same way, but it's a texture thing. There's no way he could enjoy applesauce. There's no way.
There's absolutely no way I would enjoy applesauce in a million years. That stuff is for babies. Yeah. I am a 27-year-old man.
That's right, you are.
And I honestly, I just hate
you
how sloppy it.
It
is.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
All right, here we go. All into the championship rounds.
Vanilla pudding.
Oh.
Will Brian eat it?
Jeez, I feel like, well, we've established that he wants a vanilla shake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a little
different
more
consistency.
It's a little more viscous, but there's not a whole chasm between it's vanilla pudding and a vanilla shake. On the other hand, why would it be on here?
What was his issue with the chocolate shake?
Too rich.
Too rich.
Okay. Because this is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say he's in on the vanilla pudding.
I agree. We've more than established he loves vanilla, so why wouldn't he eat this? He will eat it.
Because he's erratic and I got to get back in the game, I'm saying no.
I hate pudding so much.
Yeah!
I hate it so much.
Of course you do.
When
pudding.
God.
Everyone hates
God,
pudding.
God, it's so bad. Anytime I see pudding as like a dessert option at like parties and stuff, I just want to leave the room.
Yeah.
I want to leave the party.
Yeah,
it's just such a whatever.
It's filling. It's the middle of a cake.
It's
all right. Okay. What's the score now? Are we all tied up?
All tied up.
1 point each.
2 points.
All right. I'm going to call this a tiebreaker. I'll figure out how to do it.
Lime Jello.
Mmm.
Mm. Now, in my world, I don't like novelty food. Like, I just don't like the Sour Patches and all. And the lime Jello to me is just novelty food. If I want dessert, I want chocolate. I want nuts. I want caramel.
Right.
You know, that's my
But this
thing.
Is like classic Americana, you know?
Yeah.
Like
I will,
50s.
I'll let you both venture a guess, and then I'll do some sort of offshoot that involves something.
Try to get
and it'll be a third guess, yes.
Lime Jello.
I love.
Well, we do have a tiebreaker for after this, so let's all join in. Then.
Can I go first?
Yes, go ahead.
I love lime, and I think I love it, but it's an intense flavor. I can see how maybe it tastes like dishwasher fluid or some sort of cleaning solution. Mm-hmm. So no, you will not.
I don't like lime as much as I like lemon on about anything. Mm. I don't like it when I'm in first class and I go, oh, can I have a vodka soda with lemon? They go, we got lime. I'm always like, have a separate small bowl of the other thing in first class, would you please? And also,
size of a fist.
Limes must last longer or something because it's always lime. And I'll have people like for Bloody Marys and many drinks. Lemon's usually used more than lime, but they always, like people go, can I have a lemon and whatever? And they'll go, oh, we have lime. But never a lemon. So I think it's about size and
Heartier.
How long it lasts and how long you can leave it out, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Cheaper, too.
Cheaper, too. Yeah. I think we looked into this once. Anyway.
I say no.
You say no.
Well, if he doesn't like chocolate, I mean, lime, you're right. Lime is not something you come across every day. And he doesn't like pudding. So he certainly doesn't like the gelatinous cube. So there's no way he could eat lime Jello. There's
right.
no way.
You say no. I say yes just to see if I can pull this thing out.
So when I was a kid growing up in Massachusetts, Jello was the one thing, one of the many things my mom was like, you're not allowed to eat that ever. And so I was always like, anytime I would see Jello, I would always want to eat it. Lime Jello is great.
Wow. I did
always.
Not For, see that coming.
It's forbidden always. Gelatinous fruit. Right out of the Bible.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's why you have to play the game.
Now you know. Will Brian eat it?
Brian's pissed off at most food. He must have a mental disease.
All right, Brian. Hustle back to the other shop. And I mean run. It's been way too long since you've worked. Go on. All right. Let's see. Bill Maher's calling in to defend, or maybe defend.
We don't know.
We don't know what his take on this Stan Lee business is. We'll tell you about that. First, I'll tell you about MedMen celebrating the first legalization-friendly holiday season in approved states. If you're not normally a Black Friday shopper, here's one you'll want to check out. This season, let's get it off to a stress-free start. 40% off of everything in the store this Black Friday until 10 a.m. 40% off till 10 a.m. if you want to sleep in, fine. going after 10 a.m. and you get 25% off store-wise. Store-wide for the rest of the day. You can check out one of MedMen's 14 retail locations throughout L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and the new Vegas store, now open on Paradise Road and Harmon. Go to MedMen.com, find the store nearest you. That's MedMen, right, Dawson?
There's so much to celebrate this year. Let's toast old traditions and celebrate new ones. Visit MedMen this Black Friday for 40% off the entire store before 10 a.m. and 25% off store-wide for the rest of the day. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older. Check out MedMen this Black Friday.
All right, should we do a little news? We'll take a break. Come back, and we'll do a little news with Gina Grad right after this.
And now, a quote, real Mangria testimonial.
Hi, I'm Beth, and I have children, 9 of them. I love them sometimes, but there are 9 of them. When I get back from work after a long day at Fabric Barn, I need a stiff drink before a stampede of mistakes comes running at me. For that, I turn to Mangria. It has just the right amount of sweetness and strength to satisfy a hardworking, okay mother. Thanks, Adam, and thank you, Mangria.
Head to CorollaDrinks.com and enter promo code MISTAKES for 20% off orders of 3 or more bottles.